If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow & Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N. Rakuten.com.
You can't make the most of your data if it's stuck in different silos. If it's scattered across the cloud, on-prem, and with your apps, then it's hard to access, hard to work with, and increasingly expensive. Now you can see it all and manage it all from one place. Welcome to Data Done Right. You can start managing your data, not your infrastructure. It's unified, simple, secure, and it's only with a Pure Storage platform. Get started at purestorage.com.
Welcome back to the podcast. Today, the tax credit goes, but Ford and GM preserve discounts, and Togg arrives in Germany. Plus, stay tuned later in the show. I'll tell you which electric vehicle just set a new acceleration record. Hey, on EV News China today, we're talking September sales numbers. Now in the books, who's up, who's down in China? Check it out. Now, the US federal tax credit, $7,500 for a brand new car, $4,000 for a used one, is gone. The federal tax credit for EVs expired at midnight, and early signs point to market turbulence ahead. According to economists, sales could drop 27%, which would match Germany's pullback after it eliminated a $4,900 incentive. Ford CEO forecasts US EV share may slide from 10% to 5% of new vehicles as automakers adjust their production and buyers confront higher prices. September brought a final surge as manufacturers offered aggressive incentives and leasing deals to capture buyers before the deadline. Now, the great recalibration. Ford, Honda, Stellantis all scaling back US EV launches and redirecting investment towards hybrids and conventional powertrains. Tesla's lease rates have already begun to climb, demonstrating how losing the federal support translates directly into the price that you pay. Battery manufacturers are pausing US plant expansions as inventories climb and demand softens in the US. No automaker plans to exit electric entirely, mindful of how Detroit permanently lost customers to the Japanese brands in previous decades. Manufacturers recognize that ceding ground to agile competitors during this transition risks losing buyers forever, making the balance between near-term market conditions and long-term electric strategy critical. As regulatory changes unfold, the CEO and founder of Rivian, RJ Scaringe, talking about how the lack of the incentive money, the federal tax credit, will shake things out. It'll force people to really look hard at what EV they're buying to get the best possible bang for their buck. And he's happy about that because he's confident Rivians are better than most of the EVs out there. Ford and General Motors have set up plans so people leasing electric vehicles still get up to $7,500 in federal savings after the 17-year-old tax credit program expired yesterday. Their finance arms will buy dealer inventory and use down payments so those corporate buyers qualify for the federal incentive just in time. Dealers will then keep offering leases with that incentive built into the terms, letting customers access the rebate for many months after the program's expiration. Ford says lease savings will be available through Ford Credit until the end of 2025. Both companies developed their approaches after consulting the IRS. It's not yet clear whether other manufacturers did similar programs. Now, let's go to Germany, where Turkey's Togg, T-O-G-G, launches in Germany with two electric vehicles that directly challenge the established manufacturers on price and specs. The T10X is an SUV, and the T10F is the saloon. They start at 41,000 euros and go up to 45,500 euros with delivery and some extra configuration. The first 1,000 run targets customer deliveries by the end of this month, marking the brand's entry into Europe's toughest automotive market. Both long-range models pack an 88.5 kilowatt-hour pack, delivering 523 kilometres SUV, 623 saloon under WLTP. Peak charging is 180 kilowatts, 10 to 80 in 28 minutes. Standard range variants arrive next year at 34,000 euros. 52 kilowatt-hour packs in those. Five-star Euro NCAP ratings confirm they're safe. Technology includes a full-width cockpit display, facial recognition access, and a TrueMore digital ecosystem to handle things like travel bookings and energy payments inside your vehicle, should you want to. Advanced driver assistance, surround cameras, driver monitoring, digital mirrors deliver features typically reserved for premium segments at 35 grand. Germany's large Turkish diaspora provides a natural customer base, while mid-range pricing slots tog between the cheap Chinese offerings that sometimes aren't that cheap, to be honest with you, and the premium German homegrown alternatives. The company requires 200,000 annual sales to become profitable, they say, with France and Italy. Expansion planned following the German launch. Tog's competitive specs and accessible pricing puts the brand in a really interesting place between the legacy established car makers and the emerging competition now. Polestar is taking an unexpected turn. They've confirmed there's going to be a new Polestar 2. Now, they've been doing Polestar 1, 2, 3, 4. You get where I'm going with this. But it contradicts its earlier stance that every model would have no direct successor, but they would simply increase the number like happens on your iPhone. The Polestar 2, however, is the cornerstone of the brand, making up 4 out of every 5 cars Polestar currently or has ever sold, with more than 180,000 units worldwide, one of which sitting behind me in the driveway. According to this CEO, Michael Loeschler, this approach is designed to keep existing customers engaged rather than reinventing themselves. Heightened industry pressures have shaped the strategy. New US tariffs on Chinese EVs and a market lean towards crossovers have led to Polestar selling only 69 cars in China this year. They've shut down the sales locations there. That could be a reason. As a result, manufacturing is their central focus. The next Polestar 2's production site is undecided, but the new Polestar 7, that's a compact SUV, will be made in Europe from 2027. For this year, Polestar is offering the Polestar 2 in performance pack trim as it drops the long-range rear-wheel drive and all-wheel drive. Polestar is now concentrating on two products to regain traction: the next-gen Polestar 2 Saloon and the Polestar 7 compact SUV. Appealing to younger end and more female-leaning buyers, with these models, Polestar aims to compete in the mainstream market, shifting emphasis from China to Europe and North America, prioritising retention and sustainable profitability. Personal point of view, I'd have another Polestar tomorrow. This thing doesn't squeak or rattle and roll. Well put together for being... I've got the launch edition, so this one, I don't know what the build number of it was, but I got a very early one. And I still love it. Years later, I still love it. Still feels fresh. Google got updated recently, so all of the colours got changed to Polestar colours, and all the boxes kind of went square. And it all the Google interface now matches all the Polestar-y stuff, if that makes sense. I know it's not a big change, but, you know, it's a quality of life improvement. It just looks nice to my eye. And so the car seems to get better. Oh, central screen has been flashing a couple of times, but won't do it every time. So I get in the car and I turn the Polestar on, and the central display will, you know, boot up and then flash sometimes for a couple of seconds, 5 or 10 seconds, and then stop. And I can't get my phone out to take a picture of it. So I can't go into, well, it wouldn't be Polestar. For me, that's Southampton. So for me, it's Volvo in Pool. I can't go into Volvo in Pool. I mean, like, the screen's flashing, and they'll look at it and go, the screen's fine. So I need to send them a video of what's happening, whether it's a loose connection, whether it's, I don't know. I don't know. It's out of warranty. Obviously, it's probably going to be expensive. Everything is. I'll keep an eye on that. Apart from that, like, I absolutely love this little thing. And if there was a Polestar 2 in a few years' time, we came to refresh it. Yeah, no problems having another one. Let's talk BYD next. The BYD Xi'an LEV is not called that in Malaysia. It's called the Seal. Okay, so which is you know, probably easier for some people to pronounce. The Seal 6, actually. And it's half the price of a Tesla Model 3. And it's all part of BYD's overseas plan. Debuting in China earlier this year at 120,000 yuan, that's $17,000 equivalent. It just arrived in Malaysia last week as BYD's first right-hand drive sedan export. Malaysian customers can get the dynamic or premium trims, which is still very sharp pricing for C-segment vehicles, 37% more than the Chinese pricing. And it's still cheap. The Dynamic is a 95-kilowatt motor, 11 seconds 0 to 62. Premium is 160-kilowatt motor, 7.5 seconds 0 to 62. Both have the same battery, 56.64 kilowatt hours, LFP blade pack. And the fast charging time, they give 30 to 80. You know it's bad when they don't give the 10 to 80, but you know it's really bad when they give the 30 to 80. Car makers, please, just give us the 10 to 80. We want the level playing field, and we'll decide whether it's a good or bad time. 30 to 80 is 24 minutes, which is, you know, whatever. 100 kilowatt DC fast charging, I mean, it depends on the curve. Like, 100 is actually... 100 kilowatt DC fast charging is fine for many people, as long as it will keep it, you know, and maintain that speed. If it just sort of tickles it and then ramps down very quickly, then that's not great. Standard features-wise, really good. God's eye see, 12 cameras, millimeter wave radars, 12 ultrasonics, smart parking, emergency braking, ongoing software updates, BYD's commitment to electric mobility overseas just took a step forward. Now, let's go to Illinois. They are launching their fourth round of their EV rebate. It's a state rebate. Obviously, application window opens at the end of the month, October 28th. If you know anyone, or you are in the area, it remains open through Jan 31st. Well, it won't, because it'll remain open till funds expire. Till the funds are gone. The Illinois EPA allocated $14 million for this round of funding. The base rebates are $2,000 for a new or used EV and $1,500 for an EV motorcycle. Applicants with income below 80% of the county's low-income threshold qualify for an extra $2,000. The available is 4,000 in total. Eligible vehicles must have a MSRP under $80,000, sold by a dealership licensed in Illinois. Applicants must not have received a previous Illinois rebate. In 2025, the program issued 3,500 EV rebates. The year before, last year, 3,000, and the appropriation was larger in 2023. It was like 5,000 rebates they did. So, yeah, but it runs out, like the New York funding, like a lot of the state funding. It goes quick. So, if you're in the area, get your application in on the EPA website. Must be within 180 days of you purchasing a car. So, if you have purchased one, all to do with the tax credit expiring in Illinois, maybe... can you apply for that as well? Have a look at the terms. Very interesting. Now, we'll talk Tesla's 500 kilowatts superchargers and LA going electric for the Olympics. Those stories and more coming up. Stick around. All right, welcome back to the podcast. Now, Tesla opened its first proper V4 supercharging station in Redwood City, California, to support battery systems up to 1,000 volts. The site has 8 V4 stalls with a single V4 cabinet. So, it's complicated. It's like the old Facebook status update. Showing my age there. It's complicated. And so, the V4 dispensers that you see, the tall ones with the long cables, designed for Tesla knowing that they would open their network out one day to every possible brand with every possible location of charging inlet. So, that's not V4. That's the V4 grade dispenser that can dispense a higher current. But all of the heavy lifting, if you like, the grunt work, is done by those cabinets that you see, sometimes behind a fence, sometimes just grey metal boxes. And those are the ones that weren't upgraded. Tesla did subsequently work out a way of delivering a bit more power with the V4 dispensers, but the old cabinets. And it was a bit of a halfway house, still a fudge in terms of the naming convention. Now, we can actually talk about V4 superchargers. So the cabinet will deliver 1.2 megawatts, 1,200 kilowatts of power across 8 stalls. Individually, each one can do 500 kilowatts per vehicle. Access is limited to Tesla vehicles for now. Non-Teslas will gain access by the end of the year. Tesla lists charging at 32 cents a kilowatt hour, 48 cents during peak times. Tesla says several additional V4s are in development. Tesla published a video showing a Cybertruck charging on the V4 using the J3400 connector, which is the old Tesla NACS connector, reaching 500 kilowatts pretty rapidly. There is more videos online on social media of Cybertruck owners driving there at a low state of charge and plugging in. And it does, one of the videos I saw hit 480 odd, but then it ramped down really quickly. Now, I'm not diminishing what Tesla have done, obviously. 500 kilowatts is amazing. But, and there's so many variables in terms of each different temperature and pack and stuff, but it didn't hold a high state of charge very long. But Teslas never do, so maybe that's fine. You know, China has definitely raised the bar with 1,000 kilowatt charging coming to Europe as well. BYD are bringing that single cable megawatt charging next year on the mainland of Europe. The 500 kilowatt rate, again, only on the Cybertruck. I did smile because Tesla, the Tesla social media manager published this post on X with, hey, the V4s are open, with a picture of a Model 3. And I did think to myself, that's absolutely no use whatsoever on a V4 supercharger because there's no gain at all to be had if you're turning up there in a Model 3. However, if you turn up in a Cybertruck, well, you do get 500 kilowatts. And so maybe 80% state of charge in 35 minutes. That's pretty good. And so right now, you need the high voltage architecture. Other Teslas are only going to get, 250 or so. The V4 power electronics cabinet can be routed to a single stall if, say, a semi turned up. So if a Tesla truck pulled in, you could, I guess, have a charging station where this layout could charge a semi as well. That's really, really good news. Los Angeles Olympics are coming in 2028, and it will be the Electric Olympics. In the past, where hydrogen was pitched as the clean fuel of transporting the athletes around. Obviously, anything in Japan or with, you know, Toyota or whatever as a sponsor, they always went really big on hydrogen. And that didn't go down very well, did it? We're not overdriving hydrogen vehicles. But the LA Olympics in 2028 will be the Electric Olympics. And they'll start that with 500 zero-emission school buses being put to work to move the athletes and officials around. Instead of letting the vehicles be idle during the summer holidays, the city going to repurpose them to ensure that the Olympic venues are accessible via public transport, reinforcing their commitment to the no-car games. Managed by the Highland Electric Fleets, the operation will involve logistics, charging schedules, new depot construction in Southern California, and their experience of running fleets in 30 states and Canada as well, with new buses in use in Compton and Moreno Valley, and others planned for Oxnard. The local network is expanding fast. Importantly, these buses aren't just vehicles. Their mobile energy storage, their battery supply, backup power to the grid. Metro will temporarily add thousands more buses to the standard fleet of 2,000 to create robust citywide transit for the Games, showing how electric transport supports mobility and energy resilience. And public transport in California could certainly do with being improved. I think public transport generally in the US could probably be improved a little bit in places. Certainly my US friends, when they come over here to Europe or places, maybe the UK, and they see our long distance train networks, although I live on a small island, nothing's long distance, is it, for me? So really, train networks, bus networks and things like that, we sort of can do it. We're all a bit closer together. China has a very, very good long-distance public transport network. Japan's very proud, source of national pride for them. So, yeah, hopefully that's a bit of investment in California, getting people onto public transport. Now, Ford's CEO has turned up on the episode of The Verge's podcast, Decoder. The CEO, Jim Farley, said China's lead in the auto sector stems largely from state backing. He said, and I quote, "The competitive reality is that the Chinese are the 700-pound gorilla in the EV industry," end quote. It's difficult to argue with anything but there being massive subsidies financial backing from the state in China, which makes me smile because in part of their arguments with the European Union over that, they say they're very upset at any kind of insinuation that there has been help. Yes. Yeah, okay. Mr. Farley added that China is completely dominating the EV landscape, crediting that position to great innovation at a very low cost. He said there are hundreds of companies. They're all sponsored by their local governments, so they have huge subsidies, and named established firms like BYD and Geely. And that's true. Now, I did a special bonus edition of the podcast. It's in the Patreon feed and the free feed as well, where we talk about how China 20 years ago decided to create the perfect storm of oversupply, survival of the fittest, to create an environment where hundreds of EV makers would have a go at it, and then they'd all go to the wall, and then they'll be left with maybe 6, 8, 10 or 12 proper global champions. And that's how they were going to overtake the Germans, how they'll overtake Detroit. They couldn't do it in combustion. They knew that. But they could do it with EV. And it was part of their plan from sort of the mid-2000s. And here we are 20 years later. He also mentioned newer entrants like NIO and Xiaomi, many of which have never been in the car business before, which is an advantage, he says. A report from the Center for Strategic and International Studies found that between 2009 and 2023, China's government provided $230 billion equivalent into supporting domestic EV manufacturers. Now, Circle K is next in the news. They operate around 760 fuel and service stations in Sweden, opening the country's first truck charger, which is megawatt charging. The MCS, megawatt charging system, is installed at the Circle K in Värnamo, north of Helsingborg. The site is Circle K's 31st truck charging station in Sweden, features the Alpitronic HYC 1000 units, which are really good stuff. The first HYC 1000 in the Nordics, actually. The installation provides three charging bays, 600 kilowatts each, and one MCS at a megawatt. Circle K put in Scandinavia's first heavy vehicle charger in Gothenburg in 2022, and has been expanding their heavy goods vehicle charging network from Malmo in the south to Kiruna in the north. The company says it's now offering Sweden's largest network of ultra-fast chargers in heavy and light vehicles. Many ultra-fast chargers are located at Circle K petrol and gas stations that still offer legacy fuels, but in May, the company opened their first EV-only charging hub in Gothenburg with Chempower. Now, the Volvo EM90 is all electric, it's luxury, it's a minivan, and it's in China only, at least for now. But drawings that were submitted to the US Patent Office by Volvo depict a version of this car, but with a plug-in hybrid powertrain, or maybe an EREV powertrain. The EM90 images show a charge port door on the front left, the vehicle. The submitted illustrations instead show doors on both rear fenders. So that would be a fuel door and then also a charging door. Volvo announced it will build a new hybrid vehicle in the South Carolina plant, but didn't say what it would be, and also has no plans to bring the EM90 to the US. Volvo adding it will share more details about future hybrids for its Charleston plant at a later date. Volvo not confirming a plug-in hybrid EM90 is a distinct possibility. Plug-in hybrid, EREV, big battery, build it in the US, avoid tariffs, stuff like that. I like it. Now, let's move on and talk about something that got a lot of attention today because it involved one of YouTube's biggest stars. Now, Marques Brownlee, who is a massive tech YouTuber, has a podcast as well. And on that, he was recently talking about his decision to cancel his Tesla Roadster reservation after 8 years. He placed $50,000 deposit with Tesla. There was an initial, so that he explained the way it worked. You put $5,000 down initially, then they took another $45,000. You got $50,000 in Tesla for 8 years doing nothing. And so he then had to go online to cancel his Roadster order. He says it wasn't easy. There's no cancel button. You have to call. He got through to somebody eventually, lots of time on hold. The person at Tesla had no idea how to do it. Then he waited and then called again. This person did know how to cancel a Roadster, but then he got $45,000 back, which he then took to his podcast to say, I didn't get my original $5,000 back. They've kept it. At which point, Tesla promptly repaid his money, which was rightfully his. The financial opportunities of taking a gamble on the Roadster were stark. If you'd invested $50,000 in 2017 in Tesla early doors at $22 a share, post-split, at today's $454 a share, he'd have over $1 million. That's a 20-fold return over the last almost 10 years. Roadster deposits are either $50,000 or $250,000 for the Founders Series. They effectively financed Tesla back in the day. Tesla promised the 2020 production would start, and then pretty much every year around this time, we get the CEO saying all very wonderful things about the Roadster coming soon. You won't be surprised to hear that he's recently updated us on the Roadster, and that it will be revealed by the end of... Let's check my notes. Oh, the end of this year, apparently. There's a litany of unfulfilled commitments, including the February 2024 promise of it coming any moment. It's the most impressive product of all time. Yeah, I think China just outdid Tesla. You got that BYD Yangwang doing 300 miles an hour. They just can't beat some of the big specs coming out of the Chinese makers. They're going to do it with other things. They're going to have to get people excited about the Tesla Roadster all over again, almost 10 years later. Now, finally, talking about impressive cars, that would be Lucid's Air Sapphire. Three motors, 0 to 60 miles an hour, done by Motor Trend. So, just under 100 kph. Motor Trend's all-time leaderboard is now topped by the Lucid. Yeah, they added a dealer-installed track tyre package, 1,234 horsepower, which can't be a coincidence. It's 1, 2, 3, 4. 1.881 seconds. Not bad. And I'll tell you at the end of this story why they went to that many decimal places. 1.881. The track tyre package is four Pirelli P0 Trofeos mounted on the Sapphire's wheels that cost $8,500 plus installation. Oh, and the car costs $250,000, by the way. While the track tyre package was installed, the Sapphire would meet Lucid's claim of a sub-2-second time, 0-60. The Porsche Taycan Turbo GT Vizac package was the previous Motor Trend record holder, 0-60, but it's 0.006 slower than the Lucid. So, look, you've got the timing gear there. A win's a win. Lucid will take it. But yeah, I mean, the Vizac package on that Porsche, four doors but two seats, and, you know, just an insane car. Whereas the Air Sapphire, you could probably then just drive it home at the end of the day in relative comfort and luxury. And that's your podcast for today. Thanks, as always, to our premium partners, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, and Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East. National Car Charging on the US mainland and the Aloha Charge in Hawaii. And Octopus Electroverse, global public charging made simple with one app and one map. Have a good one. See you tomorrow. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.